KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Way back before the age of refrigerators and freezers, people preserved their food using a process called fermentation. In fact, it's no exaggeration to say that fermentation has been essential for our survival as humans. This process is still with us today, a necessary part of making some of our favorite foods and beverages, including pickles, cheese, kimchi, miso, kombucha, wine, and beer. And our city celebrates this process of fermentation and its many delights each year with the Portland Fermentation Festival, affectionately known as Stinkfest. The festival is now in its 10th year and takes place this Thursday, October 10th, from 6 to 9:30 at EcoTrust Billy Frank Jr. Conference Center in Portland's Pearl District. Here to tell us more about the Portland Fermentation Festival, we're fortunate to have the organizers Liz Crane, Heidi Nessler, and Claudia Lucero, collectively known as the Stinkfest Queens. And that's on your website, so this is not pejorative. Liz, Heidi, and Claudia, thanks so much for coming into KBOO and bringing this feast with you. There's wine here. There's a whole plate of fermented goods, edibles, on the table.
You're welcome. We're excited for you to try.
So let's get a little background first. Liz, can you give us a little background on fermentation and how the Portland Fermentation Festival came about? I looked up what the process is, and it's basically a chemical breakdown of food substances by microorganisms. So if that helps.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, they're all different types of microorganisms that are working on the foods. A lot of the foods that we brought you today to sample, since it is kind of dinner time and maybe you're hungry for some fermented samples, are lactobacilli ferments. But yeah, we have all different, the festival started 10 years ago. This is our 10th annual. We've always had it at EcoTrust in the Pearl, and they're a great home for us. And we have a non-transactional kind of mission for it. So you pay to get in, and then once you get in there, you're not being sold to. So you're
just there's no sales.
And yeah, it's important. I think that there's so many kind of high ticket food festivals these days where, you know, you kind of get in line and you feel like you're being sold to rather than having conversations and getting inspired. And kids 12 and under get in for free. So that's sort of the festival vibe of our, bring back loyal folks that want to talk to one another and celebrate.
Now, I want to get into each of you individually, and Liz, you first here. You're all festival organizers, of course, and your background is as a food writer. You've been on KBOO before, and you've done Between the Covers interview last year with Edward Lee, the Korean-American chef who came in and actually was in a documentary, maybe the definitive documentary on fermentation.
Fermented. That was so great. They showed that with the Portland Book Festival.
Yes, I just want to mention a few of your books. The Food Lover's Guide to Portland, maybe one of the most popular food books in Portland. Hello, My Name is Tasty. So the Tasty Cookbook, the Toro Bravo Cookbook, the Grow Your Own book. You did the cooking with cannabis parts of that, and we had you on. And you have a new book in the works, Dumplings Equal Love.
Thank you.
So you're a central figure. It's obvious to see in the Portland food scene. How did you get involved with the festival? Were you one of the original organizers?
Yeah, there were three of us that founded the festival, and I'd interviewed Sandor Ellix-Katz, who's one of our, we're the festival queens, and we consider Sandor the king. So he came and spoke at our festival the first year to kick it off, and then he's been back since. But he wrote the book Wild Fermentation and the Art of Fermentation.
And you have an interview with him in The Believer, which I read before while preparing for this.
Oh,
and
great.
That's online. Yeah. That's available for anybody if they look up Sanders' name and Liz Crane and The Believer magazine.
Yeah.
They could find that.
Thank you.
Now, Heidi, you have your own food business here in Portland, Wanpako Natto.
Yes.
And natto is a dish you picked up while living in Japan, which is made from fermented soybeans. Did that stay in Japan lead to your love for fermented foods, maybe ones that you weren't finding in the U.S., and your involvement with the festival?
Yeah, absolutely. I first tried many things that I just loved and didn't know were fermented and started making them myself in Japan. A lot of the tsukemono, the traditional Japanese pickled vegetables, I was making those, and I wasn't making natto in Japan, but I Loved natto the first time I had it. So you have a little sample of natto here. You can see
which is the natto. We have a whole plate of fermented food here.
So the natto is the one in the middle, and I served it atop rice for you. So natto is naturally sticky from the fermentation process, and it's typically eaten for breakfast, although I know it's dinner. You can have it
you mentioned that. I read that on the website.
Yeah. Japanese breakfast is chock full of fermented foods. Rice, miso soup. Of course, you can make miso soup with those little samples there. So maybe some pickled vegetables, some natto. And so that's how, traditionally Japanese people started the day.
Now, I'm curious, when preparing for the interview, a lot of the fermented foods, including the ones that we'll see at the fermentation festival, are Asian in origin, Japan, Chinese, Korean. Is there a reason for that? Is that cultural, or is that because the refrigeration there is not as widespread as it is in the U.S. and they needed to preserve the foods more? Or?
Yeah, I think also using soybeans. I think traditional Asian cultures understood that soybeans needed a special treatment, meaning fermentation. So miso, tempeh, natto, shoyu. All of those start with soybeans and are fermented. Mm-hmm. So, and I think all cultures have fermentation traditions. That special connection with Japan, though, with our festival, I think really comes from Liz. And you've been to Tokyo a few times now, right?
Yeah, so many Portland Japanese food businesses. We have Jurenji Miso, and we have Gabe Rosen, who has Giraffe and Cargo, and he used to have Biwa. We have it's kind of vibrant Japanese ferment culture here with Umi Organic ramen noodles, too, that work well with ferments, even though they're not fermented.
Portland's
cultures
a great
are just
place.
So old, right? Yeah. So, like, our culture is younger. So, the older a culture, kind of the accrual of more fermentation. But we do have quite a lot. We'll always have choi's kimchi, Korean ferments. We've had makgeolli before, another Korean. Yeah, but there's a lot of different cultures that are represented in terms of the ferments.
Yeah.
Oh, Claudia, I want to get to you. You founded a food business here in Portland as well, Urban Cheesecraft. Oh, yeah. And your website lists you as the company's CEO or Cheesy Experience Officer.
That's right.
Now, cheese, it's probably my favorite fermented food. I eat a lot of it. How did you join Liz and Heidi in organizing the festival, and what will Urban Cheesecraft be offering there?
Let's see. I came in, I think, as an exhibitor and as a demo leader. So there are workshops, short demonstrations that we bring people on to lead, and it'll be anything from, sourdough, to vinegars made from scraps, kimchi, and so I brought cheese for years, and I was doing vegan cheeses and yogurt cheeses from dairy and goat's milk cheeses, and also had a booth there, and it just kind of became the thing that I put everything aside for, including anniversary with my partner, trips. Yeah. it's like this came first. It was because it's really refreshing that there are no sales. It's really nice as a maker who got into this as something that I really enjoyed to get back into just talking with people and just kind of passing that wow factor on to them, and not just being about like, here are my cheese making kits, here are my books, I want you to buy them. Although that was a plug, wasn't it?
That
totally
was one
accidental.
That was one of the objectives of the interview. I meant for that. So, that's not a problem at all. We mentioned, of course, there'll be food there and not for sale. The food is for sampling. There'll be demonstrations. And you have an extremely special guest, actually one of the top fermentation experts in the world, coming in from Denmark. And that's David Zilber. And he's in charge of fermentation. In fact, he has a fermentation lab there at the restaurant Noma in Copenhagen. It's a 2 Michelin star restaurant. It was named the best restaurant in the world 4 times. So this is pretty high. This is elite when it comes to food luminaries. And he's the co-author of The Noma Guide to Fermentation. How'd you get David here? And what will David be doing there? He'll be giving a talk, right, to start off the festival
at
6 o'clock.
The festival kickoff talk. Claudia has the same publishing family as David's The Noma Guide to Fermentation. And the book that he co-authored with Renee Redzepi, chef at Noma, came out right before our festival last year. And I think we all just have really appreciated working with it and reading it for the past year, and just sort of dreamed big, and Claudia asked, and it worked out. Also, it was helpful. David is doing a dinner the night before at Plaza del Toro. Unfortunately, it's sold out.
Oh, I was going to mention it was open to the public, but too late.
It's too late, unfortunately, and there's a very long wait list, actually. But it's special because, you know, NOMA is really known for their foraging. They've been known for that for years. Only the past several years, they started this really robust fermentation program. And so the chefs that work with John and Renee Gorham at Toro Bravo Incorporated and at Plaza are making all different ferments from the book with Pacific Northwest ingredients. But we're excited for his talk. We sort of given him free rein to, you know, talk about what's inspiring him right now. And then there'll be a Q&A after. And the tickets for that are also sold out, unfortunately, but we do have the second tasting at the Portland Fermentation Festival this Thursday. Those tickets are still available, and I imagine you'll be able to get those probably at the door. We'll definitely leave some aside. So,
I have one quote from there was actually a really nice profile of him in The Guardian, the British newspaper. He said, "There's something else out there that's capable of producing flavors that people have never tasted or imagined before. That's the end game." Mm-hmm. So he kind of sees fermentation as a way of exploring new experiences in eating, and in ways to prepare foods that have been prepared other ways, or just getting new flavors that we've never tasted. There's a real sense of adventure there, and that must be a big part of the festival.
I think that's always been a huge part of the festival spirit, is just that really creative, do it yourself, try out these, you know, a lot of the ferments are culturally based. So as you were talking about Asian ferments and different families around the world, Eastern European ferments. But then when you're using your ingredients and your background and your kitchen terroir of microbes that are in there, then it becomes something else. So that's a big part of our festival feeling, is to kind of get funky, be creative, and, you know, try new things. And
there'll be some attendee-related events where they're actually kind of will be doing things or bringing things to the festival.
The fermentation station and the SCOBY adoption. Yeah.
So we started last year the fermentation station just because I thought, you know, that's what I do with my business, is teach people, really kind of get them involved. I don't want to sell ready-made cheese. There's plenty of that. I kind of want to
Have them make it
and have people feel empowered by that. So I thought, we need that component. Let's try it. And of course, the ladies were the queens.
The Stinkfest queens.
The Stinkfest queens were all for it. So we get people there. People's Co-op actually donates all of the vegetables for it. We shred them all. We bring in salt and spices. And then we get people to crush them all up and pack them into little jars, and then take their little baby sauerkraut home to continue fermenting. So that's one way that we can get them started right on that day. And then the other is the SCOBY Adoption Center, or the Starter Adoption Center. So that means anybody who's coming, because these starters, a lot of them proliferate and they make their own babies. And then you need to share them. And that's kind of how it spreads culturally in more the way than one. So we have an area set out for people to bring in their kefir grains or their extra kombucha SCOBYs or a little bit of extra sourdough starter, and then take one or bring one and just share.
So it's a real hands-on festival. It's not just listening to other people and tasting other people's food. We have probably about a minute or so, so I wanted to get a little bit to the food here before we sign off and give people the website and all that information. Okay. Did you want to go through some of the food that I've got right in front of me, and I'm salivating?
So you've got the natto in the middle. This is a crouchy, very much inspired by Sandra Katz's free-for-all fermenting cabbage and such. It's very heavy on the ginger. These are two different misos. This one I made, it's about a year old. This is about 5 years old from Liz.
And that is the Noma. That's from the Noma cookbook. So it's a fermented mushroom. Theirs is for porcini or bolitas, but I use chanterelles because those are, and then the juice
in
from
season
it.
Season right now, right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I brought you a goat cheese.
Oh, that's over here.
Yes, with fermented garlic cloves in honey, or the honey itself actually fermented the garlic cloves, and then I drizzled that over the goat cheese for you. There's also an almond-based cheese that's vegan, fermented with sauerkraut brine.
My, and that must be very popular in Portland with
that. That's right. They both are.
Yeah. And then there's an egg yolk there. That's
a cured egg yolk.
Cured egg yolk,
And that's, of course, your wine.
Oh, yeah, and then plum wine. But also, this is sort of how the festival feels, Ken. It's like you get to walk around and talk to the makers and try, you know, 1 to 10 different things at each table. And we have, what, 20-plus exhibitors this year? It's really
a sometimes feast. They do unusual things that they don't get a chance to do otherwise. So.
Well, I'm getting the signal that we need to wrap up. I'm also salivating here. But Liz, Heidi, and Claudia, again, I know this is a very busy week for you, so thanks for taking the time out to visit us at KABU today.
Thank you so much.
We've been talking with Liz Crane, Heidi Nessler, and Claudia Lucero, organizers of the 10th Annual Portland Fermentation Festival. Takes place this Thursday, October 10th from 6 to 9:30 at EcoTrust Billy Frank Jr. Conference Center. That's located at 721 Northwest 9th Avenue in Portland. You can find out all the details and how to get your tickets on their website, portlandfermentationfestival.com, and on the festival's Facebook page. This is Ken Jones for KABU's News in Depth.